For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into Tide Talk Live. Stacy Blackwood, joined as always by my good buddy, Jake Thomas. Jake, how you doing this weekend, buddy?
Man, I'm doing great, Stacy. Glad to be back. You know, it's been a few weeks. We're going to get back here and put out a show for you guys. So, you know, just stay tuned. It's kind of hard to get, you know, together right now, but we got some fun stuff lined up for the summer to get us through into football season. Man, football season's coming up upon us fast, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, we're just a little over 100 days until kickoff for Alabama. So that's going to be here before we know it. It's even less than that for some of these other teams around the country. So really excited about all that. Can't wait to dive into some football talk here shortly. We'll talk some softball as well and some baseball. So there's a lot kind of going around for the Alabama Athletic Department. So we'll kind of discuss a little bit of it as we move along today in our show. We are brought to you by the Believe Network, also betonline.ag. So, you know, BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, whether it's Major League Baseball, golf, NBA, and the NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores are available. So follow your favorite teams over at BetOnline. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head on over to the website today or use your mobile device to get into the action. Bet online, where the game starts. Jake, we're going to start with some Alabama football recruiting news. It was a big weekend for Kalen DeBoer and the Crimson Tide coaching staff. You know, not for this upcoming cycle in 2025, but even beyond in the class of 2026. Two commitments, both in a defensive backfield for Alabama. And before we really talk about those guys, I think we need to kind of put a fork in the narrative that Kalen DeBoer will not be able to recruit in the South.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Ain't that the truth, man? You know, him and the coaching staff both have been on that trail hard, and they've done a great job. And, you know, I think a lot of the issues that people was having with Kalen DeBoer coming in was, how was it going to be once Saban's guys, you know, cycled out and his guys coming in? You know, if he was just bringing in the three and low four-star talent like he was getting to Washington, all, he's bringing in high four-star and five-star players still. And, of course, Alabama, you know, is still Alabama even without Saban. So, I think that's the draw as well.
Yeah, and I think Kalen DeBoer can recruit. There's no doubt about it. And you got to be careful. Look, rankings matter. Right. But evaluation matters more. And I don't think there's no way to deny the ability that Coach DeBoer and his coaching staff have at evaluating talent. Go look at the 2024 NFL draft. Washington had just as many players drafted as the highest SEC teams. They're right up there with them. Look at all the players they had drafted. They know how to evaluate, and they know how to develop. And that's all you need. And when you have that brand, that script A on your shirt when you walk into a kid's living room, you know, that's going to sell a lot of kids. So I think the fact that Coach DeBoer and his staff know the type of player they're going after, they're in the talent-rich South, whether you're talking about kids from the state of Alabama, state of Georgia, Louisiana, Florida, Texas, Tennessee, there is talent. All Mississippi's even a pretty good state, considering the amount of population they have. Coach DeBoer and his staff are going to have no problems getting into these recruits' home and selling them on what Alabama can do for them moving forward. He can just tell those guys, hey, look what I just put in this 2024 draft from Washington.
Right.
What do you think we're going to be able to do here in Tuscaloosa, you know, with that brand, the University of Alabama? So I think it's time to put a fork in the nonsense that Kalen DeBoer cannot recruit at Alabama, because he has just proven over the first, what is it, 3-4 months that he's had the job, that's kind of a laughable statement to make. And this just kind of showed up again this weekend, Jake, getting the two commitments that they were able to get for the class of 2026 and Darian Barney and Jamarian Juice Gordon, Jake, two corners You know, I'll start with Juice Gordon, Jake, who committed on Saturday morning. A guy that's, you know, 6 foot, you know, 175 pounds from Jackson, Alabama. Jackson High School is a pretty small high school there in the Mobile area. But, Jake, you're talking about a guy who has really got a lot of potential to play every position in that defensive backfield. But you're looking at a guy, like I said, he's just going to be entering his junior season this coming fall. So he's already around 6 foot, 175. You got to think by the time he, you know, he reaches his senior season and gets to Alabama, he's probably going to be 6'1", 195, 200. So with the frame to grow into a physical safety, but he also has, when you watch his tape, Jake, he's got the fluidity, he's got the athleticism to play corner, whether that's on the boundary or out wide, Jake. He could play the slot. Like I said, I think his versatility is what's going to make him, you know, I think by the time it's all said and done, a top 100 prospect in the class of 2026.
Yeah, that's good news for Bama fans, guys. You know, he looks amazing. And you talked about his, you know, his versatility. You know, getting guys that can play multiple positions, especially in that secondary, if where they come in on campus that build as a, say, corner, and there's already top-tier talents in front of that's maybe – you know, sophomores, you're like, well, there's going to be a couple of years before I get on there. Let me see what's in that backfield and see if I can't learn a safety position. He's already he can make that transition if need be. So really exciting stuff with him, man.
Yeah, I thought when I watched this tape, there was a couple things that really just stood out. I thought he was really physical for a younger player. And I thought he did a really good job of not just in coverage, but kind of with anticipation on when the ball was thrown, of getting to the ball and making the play, whether it was breaking the pass up, making the interception, or just getting there to make the tackle and not allowing that offensive player to make a bigger play. So I just think he has a lot of qualities that you like in a defensive back, like I said, that can play, is going to have the ability to play multiple positions there in the Alabama defensive back room. So Juice Gordon, I think, is going to be a really good player. By the time it's all said and done, a really high quality. I think he has the potential, like I said, to be a top 100 prospect in the class of 2026. And then, you know, earlier today, as we record this on Sunday evening, Dorian Barney, one of the top corners in the entire class of 2026 from Sewanee, Georgia, another Georgia kid picking Alabama, one of the best corners in all the country for next year's for the 2026 class, 6'1", 163. So he's going to have to put on some weight, but he's got that length. He's got that athleticism. He has the potential to be, you know, one of those lockdown corners for Alabama. Going to be, I think he'll probably be a top 75 player, top 50 player when it's all said and done. So just another elite defensive back prospect potentially heading to Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, Dorian looks, you know, fits the bill, man, as a, like you said, a top tier corner coming in. He had four interceptions, you know, this past season with 10 pass, you know, deflections, two QB hurries and 32 tackles. So, you know, another physical guy, I believe, and he's going to come in and do great things at Alabama. May have to set a year or two, but I think he worked his way in. I mean, he's going to be a talented guy that, you know, is going to be another one of those Terran Arnold type guys that's going to hit the field kind of late in his career and then be a top 15 draft pick, I feel like.
Yeah, I like both of these guys because I think, first of all, when you play corner, especially nowadays with the size that these receivers are becoming, I mean, you rarely see a receiver under 6 foot now. So yeah. You have to have corners that have length. And both of these guys have that. They're still really young players. Like I said, both are just now wrapping up their sophomore year of high school. So they're just now fissing to be juniors this fall. So they still have a couple years to develop physically. You're talking about guys that could be 6'1", 6'2", possibly even 6'3", by the time they arrive on Alabama's campus in 2026. So a lot to be excited about in both those guys, Jake. I think they both have a chance to be a minimum of top 100, if not top 50 to top 75 players in the class of 2026. And Kalen DeBoer and his coaching staff, that's the only two commitments they have so far in 2026, but they're off to a fantastic start with both of those guys. So excited about what Coach DeBoer is doing on the recruiting trail, kind of silencing his doubters, so to speak. And I think the best is yet to come as far as recruiting is concerned.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. We've talked about Kalen DeBoer and how he and his coaching staff evaluate the way it's players, and they get the guys that they want on, you know, and those positions that they of need, especially defensively and offensively. So, you know, there's more to come with this 2026 class. 2025 class looks outstanding as well, but this 2026 class is off to a great start, like you said. So be interesting to see who the next guy is, you know, in a few years that makes the commitment to Alabama.
Yeah, speaking of 2025 real quick, and I know you're not just a real recruiting nerd, but currently they sit, I think, around seventh in the On3 team rankings. What is your expectations? What would you consider a really good first full recruiting cycle for Kalen DeBoer?
I mean, honestly, top 10, even top five. If it's top five, I'd be ecstatic, and I really feel like he can get top five, you know. But I see a lot of fans, I'll put air quotes, that was like, well, how come we're not going after this guy? How come we're not going after this guy? And I level head and I keep telling them it's because it's who they want. It's not who we want personally. It's what they want and who fits their scheme the best. So, you know, yes, there may be a legacy player out there, but if it's not who Kalen DeBoer and the coaching staff wants, we're not going to go after him unless he fits their scheme that they want to run at Alabama. So we just got to, you know, got to give him time to get his players in. And I feel like it's off to a great start. He's kept, you know, when he jumped in, he kept Ryan Williams at Alabama. That was a big pickup for the 2024 class. So he's kept some guys here. He's doing a fantastic job. Let him get the guys that he and his coaching staff wants, not who we personally want.
Yeah, and I think you're going to hear me throughout the summer months leading up to signing day talking about the evaluation process, because under Nick Saban, and not only is Nick Saban gone, but recruiting's kind of changed anyway with NIL, with the transfer portal. So all that's kind of different now for Kalen DeBoer. Now you add on that Nick Saban's gone from Tuscaloosa and the Alabama football program as the head coach. Recruiting is just going to be different at Alabama. That doesn't mean it's going to be worse and doesn't mean it's going to be better. It's just going to look different. Yeah. And I think what you're going to see Coach DeBoer and this particular coaching staff put an emphasis on is evaluation. Not that that wasn't important to Coach Saban and his staff, but when you're Nick Saban, the evaluation process is not as major because you can walk into any living room you want and say, hey, you want to come play for me at Alabama? Yeah, and right. it's just a different type of recruiting. And I think you're going to see maybe Alabama take a couple more of those four stars than what you're used to taking. And kind of develop those guys and take a longer, deeper evaluation process. So I think we want the number one class. Who doesn't?
Right.
Be patient. Trust the evaluation process. Look what it was able to do for Coach DeBoer and the Washington Huskies this past season when he was able to put a couple classes together, both high school rankings or high school players, and then transfer portal players like Michael Penix, and develop those players into his system, into what he likes to do, and you see him make a college football playoff and the national championship game. So trust what Coach DeBoer is doing. He's got a process of his own. You know, there's more than one way to build a program. I mean, Jim Harbaugh finished maybe in the top 10, you know, twice the entire time he was at Michigan.
Right.
They just won a national championship.
Right.
There's more than one way to do this. You don't have to have the top class every year. But having said all that, I would still be slightly surprised if Alabama didn't have a top five class when 2025 is all said and done. And I think there's actually potential with a guy or two there. They could be top three. So it's not all doom and gloom as far as the rankings concerned. But I do think fans need to understand the evaluation process is going to be different for Coach DeBoer than what it was for Coach Saban. So just kind of my two cents on the recruiting standpoint of it. But Jake, let's kind of bounce on to Alabama softball. Jake, they've had their best weekend they've had really in a long time. You know, they went on Friday against USC Upstate. They beat Southeastern Louisiana on Saturday. And then they really just drum them today on Sunday afternoon at Rhodes Stadium, 12-2 in five innings to advance to the Super Regionals, Jake. want to give the girls a shout out, Coach Murphy, a shout out for a job well done and advancing to yet another super regional, Jake. Just, you know, as hard as it is to watch them sometimes because of their inability to consistently hit the ball, you know, when it gets to the postseason, you got to give Coach Murphy credit. He finds a way to just get wins. And you know, this is when you want to win.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Stacey. And I'll be one of the very first ones to tell you, I've been critical.
I have too.
Of Coach Murphy this year. And, you know, I've even been saying, well, maybe it's time for a change. But when it got to, you know, crunch time, especially getting this weekend, they made super regionals. I mean, yeah. He wins when it matters. Now, they didn't really look good in the SEC tournament, but, you know, maybe that was an eye-opening, you know, thing for them. And maybe these girls and Coach Murphy, you know, took a step back and said, look, we've got to reevaluate ourselves. Talk about your, you know, evaluation, Stacey. Like, we've got to figure out what's going on here. And I think they figured it out. Now they move on to super regionals. They get Tennessee, I believe. So that's going to be, yeah, that's going to be a fantastic series. I don't know. I can't remember how good they did against Tennessee this year. I'm not sure if they even played on. I can't remember.
I think Tennessee took 2 of 3.
I think Alabama can take 2 of 3 from them and move on to the Corridor Series without a doubt.
It's going to be tough, Jake. Tennessee is, you know, as good as anybody. I mean, they're as good as anybody in the country. They got great pitching. So it's going to be tough to take down the Vols. And I'm trying. Yeah, they do play Tennessee. Just to kind of give you an idea of what's going on in the Super Regionals, you have Oklahoma versus Florida State, Florida versus Baylor, Oklahoma State versus Arizona, Missouri versus Duke, UCLA versus Georgia. LSU's awaiting the winner of Cal State Fullerton and Stanford at this time. Then you have Texas against Texas A&M. That should be interesting.
Yeah.
And then Tennessee versus Alabama. So there's a lot of SEC teams still there in the NCAA tournament. And I'm with you, Jake. I give Alabama a chance because they have that winning tradition, Jake. And that matters when you get to events like this.
Right.
And you know, I want to give kind of women's softball a shout out here, Jake. There's not many sporting events that are better than the college softball tournament.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I'm talking about from the regionals to the super regionals to the World Series. The entire event is so much fun. I don't care if you've got a team that you're pulling for in or not, just to turn the game on and watch those girls play is a lot of fun. The talent that they have, Jake, is really incredible. You talk about some of these girls that can pitch, just I don't know how they do it. You know, Oklahoma State's got a girl batting in the 400s with like 17 home runs. I don't even know how that's possible. Just These girls are ultra talented. And ESPN, you know, for all their faults, they do a great job, and they have done a great job of promoting softball, college softball. And to me, it's one of the top. It's right up there to me. I look at football and basketball. I mean, softball is right there with baseball now. I think, especially from a collegiate standpoint, because of not only what ESPN has done to help grow the sport, but the amount that these programs have kind of poured into, or these universities have poured into their programs, you know, like Alabama and Oklahoma and Florida and Tennessee. These programs are massive. The softball programs are massive to these universities now. And it's been a lot of fun to watch this game grow. And I love this time of year. This softball tournament is so much fun.
Yeah, it's been fun, man. I've been able to catch a couple of games. And one of the very first games I saw was Missouri versus Omaha. And Omaha, being a small school, actually upset Missouri. Now, Missouri ended up, you know, beating them twice today and punching their way in. But Omaha – And you just said Cal State Fullerton is still playing for a chance to go. I mean, these small schools have a chance, kind of like with basketball. These smaller schools have a chance to make a run even against powerhouses just because the talent level, it seems like the girls are spread out all over the place talent-wise. Even the smaller schools are getting talented players. It's incredible. And like you said, ESPN promoting it, it's been great because you know, they put it first and foremost when it gets to this time, and it's just absolute fun to watch. It don't matter if you're an Alabama fan, Auburn fan, whatever. you know, just watching softball, being a softball fan is fun.
Well, just think about it from this point of view, Jake. You talk about all the talent that there is in college softball. In our little small town, Jake, here locally, I mean, in a 10-mile radius from where both of us are at, there's two girls on Alabama softball team.
Right.
Larissa Pruitt from Hartsell, and then the girl from Danville.
Emma Broadfoot.
Yeah, Emma Broadfoot from Danville. I mean, just that's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, so just the, like you said, the amount of talent, it makes it so much fun. This is, I love watching college softball. It's great. And, you know, it's kind of something that, you know, even my kids enjoy watching it. So that's right. How you know that the talent is there. And then that also ESPN, like I said, I want to give them credit because the way they've promoted the game, the way they let the viewers take the game in is a lot of fun as well. So just kind of wanted to give softball a shout out there, and good luck to Coach Murphy and the girls there against Tennessee in the Super Regionals. They got a shot, Jake. They got a shot because they can pitch. If they bring their bats, Jake, they can play with anybody in the country. So hopefully they can show up and hit well and get the upset against the Tennessee Volunteers or the Tennessee Lady Vols.
Yeah, Tennessee Lady Vols. And yes, Stacey, I agree. You know, I'm not going to put Alabama out yet because they're talent. There is talent on that team. And when they get hot, they can beat anybody in the country. And I really believe that. So hopefully this is the start of their hot streak and make it to that College War Series and get back to where, you know, they've been for the last several years in a row now. I mean, you know, it's just crazy how great they've been.
No doubt about it. RJ, before we wrap up real quick, the baseball team, well, obviously the SEC tournament starts on, I think it's Tuesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. I think LSU and Georgia play at like 9:30 in the morning on Tuesday.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Good grief. And then Alabama will play South Carolina immediately following that in game two of the SEC tournament. Jake, what are your thoughts on what Alabama needs to do or what they might do in Hoover this next week real quick?
I think they can beat South Carolina. And then I think if whoever wins that game plays Arkansas.
Yeah.
And, you know,
good luck.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible timing, but, you know, just it is what it is. But I would give, you know, Ron Vaughn has come in and they kind of struggled early. You know, they started out hot, had a couple big wins. I mean, they had a huge, you know, series win against Tennessee early in the year. Then it kind of just went flat. And then they got hot again and they kind of started going back flat again when they couldn't hit, especially against Auburn. They just looked terrible this weekend against Auburn. They won, I think, last night. But that's a team and you know, a series you really want to win, getting some momentum built up for the tournament. But, you know, I think Rob Vaughn's just now starting off real good. You know, he's in a couple years, he's going to have Alabama, you know, right in the thick of things. So, you know, another guy, I would say give him time to get his players in. But for this team this year, you know, I'm not sure. I think they may need to win two games to make the
college. I think they're in the tournament no matter what. Because they're ranked in the top 25.
That's true.
I think if they beat South Carolina, because the truth is, if we're speaking candidly, the SEC tournament is meaningless.
Right.
Because think about, I mean, the major, I would say if you're a top 10 seed in the SEC tournament, you're probably going to the NCAA tournament. So, and you're probably going to host a regional. So
yeah, that's true.
So it's really meaningless. So there is a potential, you know, if Arkansas's, you know, just not really playing for nothing, the Alabama, if they can get by South Carolina, can pull off that upset against Arkansas, and maybe that boosts their RPI a little bit. Maybe that, you know, boosts their seeding a little bit. But regardless, you know, you kind of know who the top teams are right now in baseball. Yeah. So the conference tournaments are I hate to say they're meaningless, but the truth is that they really are. I mean, it's not really going to mean a lot if you win it. I mean, unless you're somebody like LSU, who's really kind of on the outside looking in right now, who's a really talented team who could get hot and, you know, win a few games in a row and win the SEC. Now it's huge for them, but I think if your teams like Alabama and the teams that are above them, you know, Georgia, Kentucky, Tennessee, Texas A&M, and Arkansas, you're not really playing for anything of significance because you're kind of where you're at already. You're going to host a regional, and then it's just about where you head for the Super Regional. So I hate to say it doesn't mean anything, but, you know, facts are kind of facts.
Yeah, that's a good point, Stacey. But you brought up something, two things, one thing I want to mention real quick, especially softball and baseball, about the talent, you know, that both, you know, programs across the nation are showing. You know, a few years ago, I remember Georgia softball not being much of anything. And now they're top tier, you know, and you talk about, you know, universities pouring money into these programs. That's great to see, especially in this crazy NIL deal that we're in today's world. But even these smaller programs, you know, they're not going to get a lot of that NIL money, but it's good to see some of these programs still, you know, giving these girls and guys that's not on football teams or basketball teams, that's one too at any university, honestly. And at least they're giving them some leverage to stand on their own two feet and show the world with their and showcase their talents as well.
No doubt about it, Jake. But that's going to wrap the show. A lot of fun talking some football recruiting, some softball, some baseball, as both softball and baseball are in postseason play now. So excited about that. Kind of catch all that action throughout the week. You kind of have something to watch all week long, the SEC baseball tournament. And then next weekend when the softball super regionals take place, you got something to watch again. So plenty of stuff going on right now for the University of Alabama Athletic Department. So excited about that. We'll be here along the way to cover it as best we can. Jake, anything else to add before we head out?
No, man, a lot of fun tonight. You know, we know it's been kind of scary, like we said at the start of the show, getting to do one of these. But, you know, we still got a lot of stuff to bring to you guys for the summer. And I'm really, especially getting close to football season, really excited to dive into more into the roster, not the roster, in the roster too, but the schedule and see where we line up on it and where our thoughts are about that. So just stay tuned, guys.
No doubt about it. All right, guys, make sure you do like, share, and subscribe here on YouTube. Brought to you by the Believe Network. We are free and available wherever you find your podcasts, including Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music. Wherever you find podcasts, you can find Tide Talk Live. Make sure you head on over to Bet Online for all your betting needs. They have every sport available, player props, anything you can imagine, anything you can bet on. Bet Online has it, so make sure you head over there today. Been a lot of fun. Can't wait to be back real soon. But until then, Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.